Welcome to Tales Beneath the Surface. Available on all respectable podcast platforms. Just so you know, this episode contains mature themes and upsetting scenes. You have been warned.
Welcome, dear listener, to Tales Beneath the Surface, and this, the next step on our shared journey into the unknown. Really, I feel like I'm going from strength to strength. Shedding that extra weight has done me wonders. I suppose the surgeon's, the editor's scalpel really can reveal the truth hidden among all that extra verbiage. One thing I've learned over the arc of this series is that you do have to be careful who you choose to be a friend. Some people don't have your best interests at heart. And, well, if you have a couple of harmless peccadilloes they can take advantage of, you could be left quite high and dry. Now, I know I can rely on you, dear listener. Your kind and considered missives have been a balm to my heart. And in return, I promise to guide you through this maze of mirrors and fiction. Though, of course, one's appetites can, when glutted without care, lead one to a place one can't escape. The journey there will have been delicious. But at its end, you'll find yourself regretting ever having bought a ticket. Still, the conductor cares not a whit. You got on the train after all. Ignorance is no excuse, and it's time to settle up. I hope you brought better friends than mine. All that glitters.
All right, Seb. Get that in ya. You'll be right as rain.
That's more like it. Don't worry, I've got another bag. Now drink up. Cheers. Tuck in. My treat tonight, lads.
Gosh, Petey, where did you get this? I feel as good as a Christmas bonus. Though, not yours, Gary. That was obscene.
Obscene, yeah. I like the sound of that. That Brucey bonus was a tip of the iceberg, my son. You just wait. You've barely been here a year. Anyway, move over. I've got an itch in my nose that only that can scratch.
Come on, Seb, move aside. Our friend here has a want that needs satisfying, and there's plenty to go round.
Of course, the mirror is yours, my good man. Fill your boots.
Why, thank you, my lord. Yeah. Nectar from the gods. I'm feeling good, lads. No, I'm feeling fan-fucking-tastic.
Move over. I'll rack up again. And shots to celebrate the weekend.
Right then, gentlemen, where are we off to tonight? Petey and I heard murmurings that you might know some establishments where you can blow off a little steam with some more ravishing company.
How about we have a little flutter? My money's on Sebby Boy striking out wherever we go.
Oh, get fucked, Gary. You scared of a little competition? I was quite Lothario back at Christchurch. Those international girls liked the taste of English mustard.
I love the confidence, mate. Now, Pete, are you ready to back him?
Well, where we're going, almost anything can be satisfied, so I wouldn't feel right taking your money.
I bet he can't even get close if he paid. Come on, Pete, 100 quid. What's it to you? You're not going to find any better.
Really, Gary, how gauche?
Okay, Casanova. 500 quid says you don't get one sniff all night.
Not far from mine to take you up on that.
Strippers don't count, and neither do relatives.
All right, you cockney prick. I promise I won't sleep with any of your relatives.
You cheeky bastard.
Now, lads. How about a drink and a little line to make up? Can't be letting a little joshing ruin the evening. That's it. Cheers, and drink up.
Fuck me, Pete. You're on one tonight. Hey, don't try to shag me, are you?
You should be so lucky. Well, now we're friends again. Let's have a couple more here, then down the road for a bite, and we'll hit Soho to satisfy your little peccadilloes. What's life without a little sin, after all?
Yeah. Gareth has a point. Why are you being so mysterious, Petey?
I guess you could say I enjoy bringing people together, and since you asked, you're going to set the pace for us for the rest of the night.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, as your honorary coxswain for the evening, let me just say this. Let's get fucking blotto!
We might have ourselves some fish, drawn in by the bright lights, swimming down toward our hungry jaws. They don't know we're here waiting, ready for them, lurking beneath the shadows, poised to spring out and snap our dagger-sharp teeth shut.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, sorry. I've been reading again. Guess some of it rubbed off.
Well, pack it in. You sound ridiculous.
Well, I like to read. The stories talk to me. Feels like they're filling me up. Then I guess they sort of spill out. Sorry, boss.
All right. I guess it's good you're broadening your horizons, at least. Anyway, leave it out while you're here. You sound like the fucking Crypt Keeper. If anyone heard you while they're waiting, they'd probably turn right around. I know I would.
Ah, yeah, fair enough, boss. Good point.
Yes. They'll leave with their pockets lighter, but that's about it. It's not like we're going to add them to the fucking pot. Though, hearing that, I think these gentlemen are fucked. All right, then. Lights, camera, action. Gentlemen, we've been waiting so long for you. All the girls have been quite beside themselves, thinking you'd abandon them now.
Well, I for one will not stand for that.
Of course not, sir. Now, please, welcome, come in, get out of the rain, and make yourself as snug as a bug in a rug. Go on, Ed, mate. We'll catch up.
This the place, then?
Oh, yeah. Heard about it through Fletch. Supposed to be unbelievable what goes on in here.
Class. Will be a nice little surprise for Sebby boy here.
Big time. You go in, I'm having a smoke. I'll see you in there.
Of course. I'll see you in a minute. Whatever happened to Fletch?
No idea, mate. London, you know, people move on. Transient place, innit?
Yeah. Strange. Well, maybe he moved abroad.
Gentlemen, if you'd like to step inside, the entertainment's waiting within. Just follow the corridor down and, sir, if you follow the staircase up, you'll get to the smoking terrace.
Ah, fantastic. Well, Gary, see you in a minute.
Right you are, Pete. Can't fucking wait for this. Women of the alleyway know about the planes. Hanging from the windows.
Up the stairs, he said. Oh, I think you know that already, Peter. Yes, up the stairs. You can't miss it. There's no need to be like that. Right, they're gone. Let's get packed up. Don't want any other pissheads staggering in.
Right you are, Till. The trap's sprung after all, and we've snared our prey.
Jesus fucking Christ. Here's tonight's take. If all goes well, you get a bit extra when I see you next. See you soon. You'll get a letter next time we're working.
Cheers. Nice. Florins and more 30 pieces of silver. Business has been good. See you soon, Till.
Mix up your fucking reading. Get yourself something light and airy, like a serial killer romance.
Yeah, good one, Till.
Now alone, this unsavory man stood by the closed front door and listened. There was no one on the other side scratching out scraps of a Morse message, and the clamour of steps and conversation had passed. He opened a door hidden behind a curtain, flinging the velvet rope and metal stands inside. Now seated behind his brass-bound desk, he pulled a panatella from its case and poured a glass of dark, oily liquid that danced with the petrol sheen. He smoked and drank, leaning back in the chair swallowed by shadow, his fiery eyes and the cigar's amber tip tracing a burning arrow pointing down. The carpeted corridor seemed to spiral out into the distance, its borders kinking and twisting, corkscrewing away as Sebastian's head started spinning. He folded over and retched, then wiped his mouth, suddenly energized. His heavy feet waded through the shag pile, his regurgitated poison in his wake, a lumpen mess soaking into the carpet. Two columns of dressed stone lay ahead of him, holding up a lintel of rough, unshaped rock. Beyond steps split rows of carved seats that fell towards a sandy, circular pit. The seats were full of shapes that suggested well-dressed respectability, but faded with a second glance, their edges blurring into a shadow of patched, second-hand elegance. Sebastian paid it no mind. There was an empty space just there, a drink ready beside it, both waiting for him. He gazed upwards, joining the faces raised in awe as they looked towards a carved oval in the ceiling. Stars spun and danced, and he was sitting, staring as void light poured into the room, hitting the sandy ring below, splashing like water from a jug. Bands of light ribboned out, spreading up each carved step and crawling around every figure, wrapping around them, then pouring into their mouths and eyes, pulling their cheeks back into ecstatic, rictal smiles. Sebastian could see it coming closer. He felt detached, an observer of himself, as the bright tendrils wrapped around his legs, up his torso, then down into his throat and in through his open eyes.
How odd. Almost like blackberries.
There was a flash of prismatic light throbbing together with an enormous spectrum of sound that roared through his body, blasting him out of it into a sea of sensation. Flashes of heartbreak, delight, grief and bliss came over and through him. He lived 1,000 lives simultaneously, felt the thrill and terror of the hunt, saw the birth and deaths of a myriad too great to count. As he ascended to the next level, his consciousness a greasy smear across reality. Old scars opened as new ones formed, hungry mouths gasping to feed on the sensation. He ached to be filled and emptied at the same time. He heard the light of dawn pouring through a baby's gaze and tasted the rumbling stampede on the plain. His senses merged and fell apart, blending and splitting in fractals forever. After an eternity, he came back to the room and saw it for the first time. An old, faded theatre with moth-eaten seats. All those around him had the same pleasure-stained trousers and jaundiced afterglow now that their obscene appetites were satisfied.
Oh, nothing like it. I haven't been emptied like that since, well, the last time I was here. Shame about the trousers. No, every great gift deserves a little sacrifice. Ah, by Babylon's twisted horns, it never gets old. You look lost there, friend. Did you venture across the abyss? I can see from your face you haven't had the pleasure yet. Don't worry, brother. It comes to all of us once the time is right. It took me 5 long years of grubbing through the sand. After Lawrence's dropped hints to first see the hallowed entrance written in the stars. What a sight it was. Only the first step, to be fair. Still worth it, though. Well worth it. If this had been set up when I first trod the path, to think where I'd be now. Though I wouldn't change a single thing.
What are you talking about?
Wait, what lodge are you from, brother? Who showed you the Rod of Illumination?
What's happening? Oh, look at the state of me. I've got to go clean. Jesus Christ.
You're far beyond his reach. Wait, it's your first time. Your actual first time. And I get to witness your virgin rebirth. Oh, damn. What I wouldn't give to go back and have all this once again for the first time. You're a lucky man, brother.
Look, I'm not your brother. Now get out of my way.
If you're here, then you are my brother, whether you recognize it or not. Unless, no, surely not. Oh, the pit in heavens have blessed me. Hey, where are you going? You're going to miss the lottery, and we can't have that.
I don't give a whit for gambling, and anyway, I don't have a ticket.
Oh, don't worry about that. It's all part of the entry fee. Wait, that's it. You're a Christchurch man. I never would have dreamt that one of my fellow alumni would slink away before a prize draw. Terrible form.
You were at...
Oh, I've been all over, dear boy. Now, come on, sit down.
Tell me what this is first.
You don't know. It's the best bit. A little bit of jeopardy to go with your pleasure. I'm sure you enjoy a flutter now and then, despite what you claim. Well, winning wouldn't taste nearly as sweet without the crushing losses before. Right? Hush. Hush now. They're doing the draw. Sit down.
What are you doing?
Me, oh my. First time here, and you get picked. You lucky, lucky boy. I've been coming here for, so long now. Well, come on then. Time to collect your winnings. We're all ever so grateful for your contributions.
Sebastian couldn't see him anymore. He was blinded by the light. He could feel it beaming up the back of his skull, leaking through the cracks where his head had come together. Shame rolled over him, an adolescent chemical wave. Then, with a soap bubble pop, a fleshy disc appeared softly throbbing, hanging in the air, free from any wall. It was right in front of him, and he peered through it into a dark, pregnant space. There were bodies there, a jumbled puzzle writhing, the slapping gurning of the multitude of desiccated mouths whispered like the sound of rain through a closed window.
Time to collect!
Sebastian heard as he toppled forward through the hole, a handprint burning on his back. His euphoric scream cut short as the disc zipped shut.
Your bet, sir.
What?
It's your bet.
Am I in this round?
Yes, sir. You have the ante.
How much am I down?
The ante, sir.
I'll fold. This is your round, lads.
Very good, sir.
Discretion seemed the better part of valour right now, at least while Gary got his head together. How long had he been here? He couldn't remember the last hand. He couldn't remember buying in or even getting onto the gaming floor. Last thing that came to his mind was his good friend, Peter, saying he'd see him inside. Then he was walking in and down some carpeted stairs, and then nothing. How strange. Gary didn't think he'd drank enough to black out, but that seemed like a possibility. Well, he was here now. Wouldn't be the first time he came to sit at a card table, clarity breaking in like ice water under a careless skater's misplaced foot. A pile of chips in front of him said he hadn't been playing well. What were the stakes? How much was he down? He had a quick look around, but could barely see the other players, let alone the rest of the room. There was so much smoke in here. A thick fog of cigars and cigarettes.
Damn, I'd love us now.
It would settle his mind, give him something to do while he pulled himself together, figure out exactly how deep he was.
Cigarettes, sir? Well, we do have some excellent Cubans if you're after something richer.
What? Oh, you read my mind, Sunshine. Give me a cohiba.
A gentleman of taste and refinement, I see.
And a little something for your travel.
Thank you, sir. But I think you need it more than I.
He hadn't tossed his hand back to the croupier, and they didn't look in a hurry to take it. His focus was on the players still betting. Gary picked the cards up. They were longer than usual and sat heavy in his hand. The cards stuck thick and unyielding. He didn't recognise the suits. He had a handful of coins and swords, the colour and lines brighter than they should be. Looking at the cards spread out on the table, he filled out the rest of the suits. Wooden staves and golden cups. It didn't make a difference to him what was on the cards. It looked like there were still four suits, and that was something he could work with. The round finished, and half the hands were flipped. He recognised the arrangements, and the pot went to a full house that edged out the rest. The croupier gathered up the iridescent cards, shuffled and started another round. There was still one card left from the previous round. It was face down, sitting in the middle of the table. That was the only mystery. Aside from that, Gary was certain he could win. No. Now he was back in the room, he knew he could win.
Sir, it's back to you.
The croupier's voice broke through. It demanded his attention, breaking his trance, pulling him back. Gary looked down and saw his card spread out in his palm. They smiled up at him, promising the world.
Right.
You've just enough to call. Is that what you'd like to do, sir? But it would put you all in.
Well, fortune favours the bold. I'm in.
Very good, sir.
Gary watched the rest of the round play out, fulfilling his hand's promise. There was more betting that he couldn't match, but his pot was still a tidy sum. It got to the end and he had the winning hand. The croupier split out his pot, then pushed the rest to someone else. The chips glittered in the smoky light and Gary felt every slide that took them further away, as a pin in his heart. They were his winnings. Still, he was ahead. It doubled his stake. He could make it back. He always made it back. One more hand, and he'd walk away with whatever he had left. He'd definitely walk away. Go back and get Pete a drink. Just one more hand. The croupier spanned the cards out, stacking them one on top of each other in the front of the 13 places around the table. In a trance, Gary watched his hand reach out unbidden and collect his cards, sliding them face down across the deep, red bays of the table before flipping them up and spreading them across his palms. Warmth spread through his chest, then back down into his hands as he looked at the cards. It was the perfect setup. If the flop went his way, he'd be golden.
Cool. I'll beat you to it this time, didn't I? Yeah.
As you wish, sir.
The flop turned and landed on the table and 100 doves exploded in Gary's head. He had it. There was no way he could lose. He tried to keep it cool as sweat beaded on his brow. Now, Gary, don't give up your good fortune. He was golden. Surely nothing could touch him now. He watched on as the other players re-upped the bet and he matched it, looking down at the now empty space in front of him. The croupier flipped another card and the betting continued. Gary's belly burned with bitterness that he didn't have the money to match.
I can front you enough to match the last round, sonny.
Gary turned left and saw a little old lady sat next to him, right eyes twinkling. Her mouth cut into a smile that promised too much. A bulging crocodile skin bag clutched in her hands.
All right, Wrinkles. You taking the piss? Seems a little convenient. I've not made many friends at this table. What's in it for you?
Look, laddie, I can see a winner. I know you're good for it. I saw you buy in, you've been playing for a while, and this is the first time you've been caught short. All I'm doing is keeping you in the round. You look like you've got something good. And if you don't, hey, I'll get paid either way.
Gary snuck another look at his cards. He could taste the win. He could feel the chips in his hand already. It was so close. If he didn't take the offer, sure, he'd be in the pot for everything. But the last round had been heavy. He'd been way ahead. Might even make his money back once he'd figured out how much he'd already lost.
Well, there's a...
Your bet, sir.
It's up to you, laddie. I get if you don't want it. Some people can't take the heat.
Oh, piss off, Grandma. I can take it. All right, let's do this. You'll have your money back shortly, either way.
The old woman smiled wider, then turned her back, opening the bag with a clank and coming back round with an armful of chips.
Oh, I'm sure I will, laddie. Here you go. This should cover it.
Yes. To the penny. Well, let's see them, gentlemen.
Gary watched as hands were flipped over, appearing one by one from out of the smoke. It came round to him, and he still had everything beat. His chest was filling with molten joy at the win. He reached out to take his winnings, then heard a familiar voice chipping in.
Now, sonny, I've yet to show mine. Oh, and my goodness, isn't that a shame?
Well, well, seems we have a tie.
So, an even split then?
The croupier looked at Gary with something approaching pity.
No, sir. Not at all. It's a tie. Now you each choose a card. The winner takes it all.
Can't we just split it? Half of this is yours already.
You've got to be in it to win it, laddie.
The table card, or a fresh draw.
Gary looked down at the table, and the card at its centre and the design on its back drew him in deep again. He felt his certainty slipping away, but no. No, he understood the rules. Or at least, that's what his greed whispered.
Your card, sir.
That one. Right there, beside your hand.
Then it'll be a fresh draw for me.
Now, the final step. Do either of you wish to trade?
I'll buy your card, laddie. Swap it for this one here. I think you'll find it a sweeter deal.
I'm sweet enough.
Are you certain?
Yeah.
Twice refused. No trade on the table. Play it as it lays.
Gary watched his hand turn the card as if it belonged to another. There was a tower there struck by a bolt from above with two figures falling, surrounded by the broken stone of its top.
Yes! The castle! That's got to be a winner, right?
He could hear the tumbling of the stone and the screams of the figures before the old woman's voice scraped through his head.
Looks like I've got you beat, laddie. You should have taken the deal.
The grinding of stone turned to whistling in Gary's ears and then to screams as he heard the laughter of everyone at the table.
What?
Even the croupier as his face morphed and changed.
You can't do that, you dried up slake.
But I did. You know you should always check the stakes before gambling. Now come here, sonny. It's time for me to collect.
Stop it. Oh, God.
The little old lady grew tall, juddering upwards with a jerking spasm of growth, her gnarled hands grabbing Gary by the shoulder before stuffing him headfirst into the pewter-rimmed sack. Up on the roof, Peter leant on the bronze balustrade that twisted in writhing vines around the edge of the light well cut into the building. Above his head was a cloud of smoke, almost thick enough to condense down and dampen his jacket, He studied the building's void, looking down at the sandy ring deep below and the opalescent light coagulating in a staircase of clotted clouds.
Someone's going to notice one day, you know. Your colleagues keep going out with you, coming here, then, well, who knows what happens next? I think we both do. Now you got it, yeah? Give it to me. I need it. Yes, yes. Here you are. Now, careful, that. The accountant took care of the distillation himself. It's really rather intense. Give it here. Give it to me.
Oh, thank the old gods.
Easy there. You almost took my hand off. Oh, it's beautiful. So beautiful. Well, here's to another successful evening's business. Oh, may it last. Right. Now you've had your fix. There's enough there to keep you going for a little while yet. Now, get the fuck out of my club. I do not want to see you here again. Don't be like that. Why are you like that? What have I done to you? You know well enough, Peter. Now get out.
Peter staggered back down the staircase, sparing a bitter look back towards his enabler. The other man watched him go, smiling slightly when he heard him fall and tumble down the stairs. He leant on the railing and lit another cigar, letting out a plume of smoke under the glimmer of alien stars.
Deary me, didn't they come a cropper? Couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of lads, am I right? Oh, and how delicious. There'd be one less Gary walking around in this world. I wonder, though. That man at the door seemed familiar. Not sure if I can place him. No. No, must just be me, one of those voices that stalk your progress, lingering in the periphery, haunting your dreams. Now where was I? How silly, losing my place again. I'm glad it hasn't happened while we've been recording. That would be unprofessional. Though I'm sure you would forgive me, wouldn't you? I suppose, in a way, I'll be none the wiser. And as we found out, that is a threadbare shield when the collector comes a-knocking. Hold that thought at the front of your minds until next time, dear listener. Because, as we all know, reality writes itself.